Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests joined us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. Just a little bit, we'll be joined by Jeff Schwartz, a longtime NFL offensive lineman. His brother Mitchell is a part of the brigade that keeps Patrick Mahomes upright. A solemn duty and responsibility in this day and age. Talk to him about DeSean Jackson's comments and his experience as a Jewish player in the NFL. He went on Twitter the other day and Instagram and posted some, went on for an hour, talked about some of the experiences, and they were interesting, for lack of a better term, just about how some people are just not aware of the things that are very important to him.
No, and I think that's one of the things that I always talked about as we've had conversations relative to race that I always appreciated about the locker room, was getting perspectives from people who had lives that were completely different than mine. And this is certainly another one. I've said religion also is one of those things that has come up in that setting. Hell, I went and played college football at a Catholic university in Notre Dame, and religion was a part of a lot of the discussions around there. And eventually that would find its way in the locker room too in certain spots. And so this is an extremely valuable perspective, and one we're looking forward to getting from a guy who's as good on so many things as Jeff is.
Absolutely. So we're dealing with that. We're also dealing with the fallout of what's going on with DeSean Jackson's comments that he put up on Instagram. Again, very simple rule. If you say to yourself, hey, I'm going to put a post on social media and it has Hitler quote in it, no. Just no. Avoid all the problems that come with that by just not doing that thing. Seems like the lowest bar to cross.
Exactly. So that would be the lowest bar to clear in that instance. And then we had the instance that occurred in the WNBA with WNBA part owner of the Atlanta Dream and Senator Kelly Loeffler, who in a letter written to the commissioner, I mean, it just sitting down and penning her thoughts on the divisive nature of the Black Lives Matter movement, how she is disappointed in the league for involving it in their return to play inside of the bubble, and requesting that they not only remove that, but instead place American flags on the jerseys as an alternative in this. Talked about in these times, this is divisive political issues being brought into sports when they need not be. All of the things that we had been so used to, essentially the stick to sports mantra, just reworded and typed up in a way and in a time period where we thought we had all worked through that most of this stuff is misrepresenting the information and the approach to this conversation.
Exactly right. So, you know, it's interesting because she's in the statement that she wrote to the WNBA commissioner, the letter, she said, sports doesn't need more politics, they need less. Well, this is an open letter put out there from a politician, which smells in every way like a political statement and a political stunt. So it's interesting to me that she's saying, hey, we need less politics in this, when I am a sitting senator, which is a political position, or using an open public forum to let people know about a letter, which sounds in every way like it's something political.
It feels like a bit of a rub, which again, given the nature of this particular politician, might not be surprising to some people. And so now the response from the league is the next thing that comes in question a lot of this, because I think we can all look at this and say it gets exhausting trying to have different versions of the same conversation we've had around these issues. And so we all look at this and we've seen it's been basically universally rejected by the WNBA players. So many of them have called for her to be removed. And we had the statement in response from the WNBA, which in a lot of people's minds, including some of the players, fell short of being enough of a response in their minds.
Absolutely. And here is, we had LaChyna Robinson on with us earlier, and she was also on the Sports Center, 11 o'clock Sports Center last night, and basically saying, hey, the players on the Atlanta Dream, they have made their voices loud and clear on this.
They want her gone from the WNBA altogether. Natasha Cloud and Sydney Colson, Breonna Stewart, Sue Bird, the Players Association, all making very strong statement that they don't feel like the WNBA is a place for Kelly Loeffler based on some of her beliefs around Black Lives Matter. And it's not enough for them that she has stepped back from day-to-day operations, but basically that her beliefs contradict everything that WNBA stands for, especially around issues of social injustice, and that they want her gone from the Atlanta franchise as a co-owner.
And this is where it gets interesting, because this is going to fall on the WNBA commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, and the job she's doing in her first year on the job. Like, this is very reminiscent of what Adam Silver dealt with when he came on in the NBA and had to deal with everything going on with Donald Sterling. Here was the WNBA's statement in response to Kelly Loeffler. WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert released this statement. The WNBA is based on the principle of equal and fair treatment for all of all people, and we, along with the teams and players, will continue to use our platform to vigorously advocate for social justice. Senator Kelly Loeffler has not served as a governor of the Atlanta Dream since October 2019 and is no longer involved in the day-to-day business of the team. And I understand the point of that is to point out that she is a as small a part of this as you can possibly be, but she's still a part of it in a way that is distasteful for some. And so I just wonder, all right, if we're already saying she's not all that important to the process, why does she need to be involved in the process at all anymore?
Well, look, and call me a cynic, right? But is this something, do you think, that Kelly Loeffler wants at the as the end result in all of this? If we're talking about a political statement, like, and is this... there's a lot of part of me that wonders if she says, well, I voiced my opinion, which was different, and they didn't want me, and now I'm out. See what happens? I mean, to me, that seems very plausible here.
It does seem very plausible, and I think if we're all aware of that and we point that out and start to become aware of it, then I think it removes the power of that, or at least it should. Obviously, there's going to be a group of people that want to believe that is true and that different viewpoints are not tolerated in this situation when everything and when the idea of the Black Lives Matter movement that's at the center of this is about inclusion, is about breaking down intolerance for other people and all of this. That seems to run contrary to almost everything the WNBA as a league stands for, one that's been pushing for more inclusion, a larger seat at the table throughout all of this.
Yeah, so again... There's a lot of murkiness with this across the board here that I'm not sure what the end result is that the person who instigated this wants.
Yeah, but there's that, and there's also the side of this for the WNBA as a league, because you look at their position, and what have you seen as a response from players? They don't want to go and play for someone who espouses these kind of beliefs publicly, that comes into a situation where all of the momentum around a league founded on a majority of whom are Black women, who have always pushed for social change, who have had to fight for their place at the table as women, in addition to all the racial elements of the conversations that we've been having in all this, and you've got people saying they don't want to go and play for this team now. That's a business problem for the Atlanta Dream going forward. That's got to be addressed in some way. And for the WNBA as a whole, there's been a lot of momentum around this league since the newest CBA was signed. There's a renewed push to try and make this league everything that the players involved have always believed it should and deserves to be in all this. And if you've got that momentum and you're heading into this bubble scenario right now, and you've had players speaking out about social change and being a part of this in such meaningful ways, this is an important inflection point, much in the same way we talk about it again. The comparison to Adam Silver, I think, is apt. We've talked about that up until this recent year as one of the defining moments that came very early in his tenure as commissioner that goes a long way in building trust with the players in your league and continuing to establish it as a product going forward. And I don't think there's anything any less at stake here.
There's something that the league is going to have to do, but I do also find it interesting that she's a minority owner of the team that Renee Montgomery plays for, who's decided to opt out of playing this year and follow the Maya Moore model and basically devote her time and efforts to something that she thinks is much more important than playing basketball. There's a lot of things going on here that I'm trying to figure out what the real crux of the issue is here and what the end game is for the senator who wrote that letter.
It is, and ultimately, if we feel like those intentions are disingenuous in this situation, Trey, and we call it as such, then I think it makes it easier to still operate the way the WNBA needs to feel, regardless of what the outcome is, because if we all call it and we say, this is why someone might be doing this, and this is the outcome that they intend in this situation, then I think you're still allowed to go and make the decisions as a league that you feel are right in that spot.
Yes.
Knowing, hey, this person's looking for this outcome, even if they get it, we know why it's happening.
Right. So we'll see what happens there. We'll monitor that going forward. Meanwhile, we are also monitoring the situation in Philadelphia after DeSean Jackson put up on his Instagram story what he thought was a Hitler quote, and turns out it wasn't a Hitler quote, which is irrelevant because you cannot say, hey, I'm for one love and all people.
Because the sentiment of the quotes were still anti-Semitic.
Like
you could have put
Correct.
Anyone in that one, let alone one of the worst people in human history.
Right. And then say, I'm all for one love and not putting any religion or people down. Those two things, in a logical world, cannot coexist. And obviously, DeSean Jackson's time with the Philadelphia Eagles is being reviewed. We had Sal Palantonio on with us earlier this morning, and he said it is a very fluid situation. They're trying to figure out what happens. And I would imagine a large part of how DeSean Jackson continues to react and learn from that situation will determine his playing status going forward for the Philadelphia Eagles. But for the idea of being a Jewish player in the NFL and what that entails, we're delighted to be joined by Jeff Schwartz, a longtime NFL offensive lineman. We've had him on the show before. He does great work for us and many other platforms here. And his brother, as you alluded to, is Mitchell Schwartz, one of the offensive linemen protecting Patrick Mahomes. So for a lot of reasons, we're delighted to be joined by Jeff on the show. Jeff, I appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us this morning. I saw you put up, I can't remember if it was a live stream on Twitter or Instagram, basically your experiences in the NFL as a Jewish player, and you talked about some of the things that sort of went through that process. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the things and some of the interactions that you've had?
Yeah, good morning, guys. It was mostly good. I mean, there's just a curiosity about Judaism, right? I mean, it's a religion that I find easy to understand, but I know that some people don't, and so just a lot of questions. And there were times where I was the first Jewish person that a lot of the players had really ever talked to about religion, right? A locker room is a very religious place. People have asked me, you know, well, why is this talked about? Because it just is. The locker room is a place where you kind of have to get to know your teammates to be closer to them. And part of that is learning about what they believe and their cultures and their religious beliefs. And so I had no problem talking about Judaism, but a lot of players just do not understand Judaism and what is anti-Semitic and, you know, what we believe as Jews, which is, again, not that crazy. It's Old Testament. So I always find the conversations very interesting. I enjoyed them. You know, a couple times they went off the rails. You know, one guy asked me to convert one time, told me I was going to hell if I didn't. I mean, that was the worst, and didn't happen very often. But just good conversations. I feel like DeSean Jackson is having those now, which are important.
I guess that being said, now that they're happening, how surprised were you still that there was an NFL player that felt comfortable enough to come forward with something like this?
Well, look, I think that there's a misunderstanding about what anti-Semitism is, right? I mean, in the fake quote, which is just mind-blowing, right? Like, first, a quote from Hitler that's fake, that was posted and then defended, and we've seen people defend that. You know, the point he was trying to make was not all what was actually in those texts. And that's kind of the part that's more upsetting to me than maybe his intention with the post, is that you use Hitler, who exterminated Jews, as the reason to back up your point. It just so the whole thing just screams ignorance, right? Like, just someone who really did not understand what he was doing. So I think that the learning part is very important, but I do think there are players, and we saw obviously Steven Jackson, who's an ex-NBA player, second his thoughts. I mean, there are players that feel this way about Jews, and it's a little uncomfortable, but that's part of it. So I wasn't, like, that surprised by it. I think I was more surprised, like, the doubling down that was originally done, where he said, hey, look, you know, I see you're upset with me, Jews, but, you know, here's the part that I'm talking about, and it was still very bad. So, I'm on an outrage meter. It's not that high for me, honestly, but I'm just surprised to see, like, the doubling down of his comments originally.
Jeff Schwartz with us, a former NFL offensive lineman, talking about his experiences as a Jewish player in the NFL. And, Jeff, to me, that's the part that I – like the idea of not posting something that you believe Hitler said seems like the lowest bar to cross in any sort of situation. And it led me to believe I'm literally genuinely curious what DeSean Jackson actually knows about the historical person of Adolf Hitler.
Well, I don't know if he does know everything about Adolf Hitler. And this is my point about Judaism and just Jews in general. I mean, of course, the World War II is discussed, the Holocaust is discussed, all that you learn in history. But, you know, unless you've talked to a Jewish person who has been through, and there aren't, you know, that many people left that have been through the Holocaust, it's hard to really understand what it's about. You know, unless you've been to the Holocaust memorials, the Holocaust museums, unless you've actually been to those things before to actually feel what it was like. I mean, I remember, you know, in Hebrew school when I was young, we had a teacher who had a tattoo on her arm from a concentration camp. Like, that's very real. And when you see that, you, as much as you hear about the Holocaust and you read about it and you see the video, you see all that stuff, when you actually see someone who had a tattoo on their arm, it becomes very real, right? And I just think there's just a lack of knowledge about the Holocaust and Judaism. And so that's why I'm not, like, that upset with DeSean Jackson. I know people really want me to be outraged, and I just think it's an opportunity for him to learn. I know his owner is Jewish, his general manager is Jewish, his agent is Jewish, and I hope these people are going to talk to DeSean, and they are, about why what he said, or what he posted, I should say, was so hurtful.
Jeff, to that end, do you think there are any ramifications for him as far as his football future in Philadelphia?
I don't think so. Look, I agree that there are things that need to be canceled in life. I'm very much for parts of cancel culture. This just feels a little excessive to cut him for this or to fine him. I look at this as a growing opportunity, an opportunity to learn about Judaism. And again, Judaism is probably very closely aligned to what he believes. And that's the thing that's always interesting about my conversations with athletes that are not Jewish is they come to find out, like, yeah, we kind of believe the same stuff. Except obviously the Messiah part of both our religions. And I don't think you should be cut or suspended or fined. I might be the minority in that with Jewish people, but I don't think that's necessary here.
Well, we'll see what happens. And again, we had Sal Palantonio on earlier this morning talking about that. Meanwhile, we can't get you on and not talk about your brother, Mitchell Schwartz, who now has a very important job, protect half a billion dollar man. I'm assuming he was very, very happy with the long-term contract given to, as we've dubbed him here, Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, he's definitely on that track. I sent him a text about it. He didn't answer that. But look, it's very rare, I think, that you look at a deal and say the team wins and the player wins, right? The Chiefs get kind of cap relief for the next 3 or 4 years. I think 2023 is the first year the cap hit is, like, really huge. So it gives them opportunity for the next 3 years with their core play. I mean, they have everyone signed up except Chris Jones for a long-term contract, right? Clark, Honey Badger, my brother, Fisher, Kelsey, Tyreek Hill. I mean, like, everyone signed up to be here a while. Now they're here with Pat for 3 or 4 more years. And the way the contract is structured, Pat's basically – virtually going to see all of it. I mean, the Chiefs have to cut him, basically 2 years in advance of when that salary is going to be due, and that doesn't seem very likely. So it wins for both. It's a win for Pat. It's a win for the Chiefs. It's a stability thing for the Chiefs. Now they have 12 years of their quarterback under contract to figure out how exactly to add pieces to that. It will require drafting very well. It will require adding free agents strategically. But they have this kind of 3-year window right now where everyone's in their prime, everyone's healthy, to really go after becoming a dynasty.
Well, with that in mind, listen, yes, Jeff Schwartz is with us again. His brother, Mitchell Schwartz, offensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs. How important is it for them to try and win another one now? Because you know the Piper is going to be paid at some point for this, even though it's a really cap-friendly deal for the first couple of years, despite the ridiculous numbers of dollars we're talking about because of creative math. But you have 20 of 22 starters coming back in Kansas City. They get a gift from the football gods in the first round, and running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who could not fit into that system and what Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, and Patrick Mahomes want to do with the running back position anymore. I mean, do they feel like, hey, let's do the thing that hasn't been done because we want to make sure we get a couple of these?
I think you have to strike when the iron's hot. I mean, look, take the Patriots out of this, right? Because their franchise and their dominance, their dynasty is so unique to really any sports, right? I mean, maybe the Spurs, who kind of have won sporadically over like 18 years, right? I mean, the Pats won 3 and then took a bunch of years off of winning. They went to a couple in 7-11 and then obviously won like 3 in 5 years. That's not normal in the NFL. So you kind of have to strike when the iron's hot. If your team is good and ready to go now, you got to try to win because there's obviously attrition in the NFL. There's injuries. It's just hard. The NFL's a hard league. But I think this year is so unique because of what's going to happen with the preseason and training camp, that a veteran team like the Chiefs, returning really 20, 22 starters, really can count 21 and Juan Thornhill, they're going to have an advantage because they're a veteran team. They know their systems. They don't need training camp as much as other teams to prepare scheme-wise, have a veteran coach, and they're going to be really good just for those reasons this year. I think they're going to win 12 or 13 games just because they're going to start really fast, as other teams just won't be prepared as them.
Well, we'll see. Again, you're right.
Fast is the right word.
Fast is the right word. There's no question for the Legion of Zoom. And again, any team that has a franchise set in place with a bunch of players that have been there before is going to have a huge advantage this season going forward, should we play. Jeff, we appreciate your time and your insights on this. Thanks for jumping on short notice. Appreciate you, pal.
All right. Take care, guys. Have a good one.
All right, man. We'll see you.
Jeff Schwartz, who, by the way, spent time in Kansas City, a player, knows everyone around there well. And I think the interesting thing about this is we talk about strike like the iron's hot. Like, once you've got a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, and we discussed this the other day, you expect to win every year. Like, you expect to be very close to the dance every year. And then it's like anything else. It's those few moves here and there that get teams from good to great in those situations. But you're always going to be in contention when you've got Patrick Mahomes, as long as his abilities are anywhere near where they've seen in the first 2 years as a starter for him.
Yep. So we'll see what happens there going forward. Lots more to discuss this morning, though. But coming up next on the Golic and Wingo, it was a scheduled off day for someone. But he's here, and it's his house, his rules.
We're doing a show in his basement for now, so we might as well let him talk.
For now. Golic and Wingo here with you, and the big man has stepped back in. You just got back from vacation, and you are honoring the seat that Junior sits in because it's thigh day for whoever sits in that chair, and it is really getting uncomfortable. You have now shown more leg at this moment than your son ever has in any time before when he's been in that chair.
You sit in the seat, you have to show thigh.
Which is why I'm never sitting in that chair.
And I tell you, it's just like old time. And by the way, I'm still on vacation. I'm just here now. I'll be back on Monday. I sat down in Mike's chair here with his computer, and we're on the Zoom thing. And I as I started doing SportsCenter, I couldn't find the mute to the Zoom meeting. I had to actually hand the computer to Justin.
Well, let's be clear. Not only did you have to hand the computer to Justin, who does a great job and everything for us here, he literally crawled across the floor to grab the computer so he would be out of the way of the camera on all fours to get the computer out of
his hand. I actually look at it as my versatility and the ability to not be able to man a computer, hand the computer off while reading SportsCenter and not really screwing up the words all the way until I got to the ad.
So what's up?
I don't know. Go away on vacation. What the hell happens? Oh, my God. Come back and all of a sudden there's an expiration date.
Yeah.
Listen, we know what's going on, obviously, with the announcement yesterday. Our last show is going to be July 31st.
Yep.
Certainly was not my choice. I would have loved to keep doing the show. But, you know, listen, I didn't want to be cut by the Houston Oilers. I didn't want to be cut by the Miami Dolphins, you know. Sometimes what you want and what happens aren't the same, you know.
Those are true things.
Yeah. So that I appreciate what's been going on Twitter, and you know, the outpouring of positive thoughts. Certainly not everybody, and that's fine because you certainly can't please everybody. But it's been incredible what I've heard from people out there, and I do appreciate that. I'm not retiring. I'm too young to retire. My wife won't let me retire. It's so wild though that the portion of morning radio, at least for now, will be done. I've been doing beginning up this early in the morning since I started morning radio in Phoenix. With my buddy Bruce Jacobs out there, and that was in 96. So from 96 until July 31st for work, I've been getting up at 4:15 in the morning, to which, of course, my wife said, geez, hon, just think, we can spend time early in the morning. You know what I'm talking about. Of course, I tried that. And she said, why don't you go get some work at like a morning donut shop?
Yeah.
Just so you go make the donuts.
Right. You know? So now in getting up, it's time to make the donuts,
yes,
like the old commercial.
Yes, exactly. And again, I'm back Monday, and I'll be back until July 31st. So I'll talk more about it then, what I'm going to do. I'm not, you know, I'm still going to stay in the business and such. Again, this was, you know, management's choice to do this. And obviously, just like coaches, they have every right to do what they want to do. I'd have loved to keep doing it, but not in the cards right now. So we'll see where it goes. But I do plan on still being in this business. So I'll talk more about that on Monday.
Right. We'll get to that down the road. And I just say for someone who's only done this shift for 2.5 years,
yeah,
my utmost respect to you, to Junior, to Greeny all those years, to all the people that worked the morning shift. I don't know how you've done it all this long.
I'm not sure. You know, the more I think about it, the more, and people keep saying that, I never really thought about it. It was always like, you know what, this is my job. This is what I'm supposed to do, so I do it. The one thing I'm most proud of, because I always laugh at Mike and even Jason Fitz when he would fill in, and others, they set like 20 alarms to get up. I, for since I started this in 96 in Phoenix to here going through it, I've only set one alarm, and I can honestly say I never overslept one time and never missed the start of a show. I don't know how that happened. Maybe it was my wife saying, your alarm went off, get up.
Yeah, I will say this, as someone who hasn't needed to set an alarm for a completely different reason,
yeah,
because I wake up eight times every night.
Right.
That is a gift that you have been received and been blessed with, and that is a wonderful thing for you.
Yeah,
it's like some of those movies say, faith is not a gift I've yet to receive. I have yet to receive that gift. In 2.5 years, I have yet to receive that gift.
I don't think it's something you ever get used to. I you know, it's just something you have to do, so it's not like, oh, you get used to getting up. No, I mean, every morning I still swear.
Yeah.
4:50 when that alarm goes off, you know, a cuss word comes out of my mouth, but then, you know, over the years, as the day gets rolling, it just gets rolling. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
So why don't we do this since you're here? Let's talk about something sports related.
Oh, all right. Wow. Okay.
Let's do an actual sport thing.
Okay.
It's Wednesday.
Oh, no. I didn't even think about that.
I rank stuff. Today.
You ranked stuff. So you and Mike had to be giddy. By the way,
yeah.
I can only imagine the show yesterday. I was where I was yesterday and then traveling. You and Mike had to be losing your minds talking about the Mahomes deal.
Yeah, we have.
Holy smokes.
Let me just say, yesterday was a really good
thank
day.
God you have to be 6 feet apart.
We were enjoying ourselves a lot yesterday. Yesterday was one of the funnest days
we've had it a long time.
So
I would imagine, I forgot I sat down here and said I'd come down here. This was ranking day, wasn't it? The things I love the most.
Yeah, your God's green earth clip was played.
You know, listen, as well it should. As I tweeted to someone, in the 23 years I've been at ESPN doing the morning show, that could have been one of my biggest swings and misses of all time.
Well, they say go big or go home.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You went big on that.
Did I hear Cliff just say not really? I mean, did someone just say not really? I mean, come on. Oh, no, I don't want to hear it again, Cliff. I don't want to. I've heard it. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Cliff. Play it.
Listen, he's going to struggle. Pat Mahomes did not play his rookie year at barely at all. There is no chance on God's green earth he comes in next year and lights it up. There's something amazing to me about the fact that you have a Chief team that can win now, that you're going to go now to a young quarterback. I'm a little surprised.
So, again, this was back when Alex Smith finished the season.
This was at the Super Bowl in Minneapolis.
Right. Yeah. A few years ago. And listen, I never said he wouldn't be a good quarterback.
He's going to struggle.
I just said he's going to struggle in his first year as a starter.
And technically he did. He didn't get 55.
By the way, he only got 50.
He only got 50.
I think he could have had 55 or 57. So, in part, I was right.
Yeah, he didn't get to Peyton Manning's record his first year as a starter. That is clearly struggling.
Congrats to him, though. I mean,
clearly struggling.
I haven't read one. Usually you see, oh, God, these guys get paid way too much. I haven't read one where he just seems like such a good guy. I don't know him. Seems like such a great guy. And obviously he's lit up the world, the football world. So, man, more power to him. That is just awesome.
The other part of that is he's performed ridiculous, and you like to see ridiculous performance rewards.
You really do. And I would have to imagine any team now when a, you know, Dak Prescott agent or a Deshaun Watson agent or a Lamar Jackson agent, you know, calls their respective team, the first could say is, don't even bring up Mahomes.
Yeah.
Don't even try it on every level. Not going anywhere near that, and there's a reason for it.
So with that in mind,
we did a list. Okay.
It was the top three-ish MVP candidates not named Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, there's a stunner.
Okay. So we had to take Mahomes out of it. So we're just going to run through these really quickly, and we're starting at the top this year. Because the number one is obvious, right? It's got to be Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
Okay, so Lamar Jackson was number one. He's 13-2 odds behind only Patrick Mahomes, 4-1. Number two, I went a little crazy. Cam Newton.
Wow, what a comeback story that would be.
I'm all in on Bill maximizing what Cam's going to be able to do. He's a former NFL MVP. I like him up there. Number three, I went with another former NFL MVP, Matt Ryan. I think that team is surrounded by talent on offense. They get Todd Gurley as a running back now. It's going to help them in red zone rushes, which is going to open up everything else.
The only reason because we know what this is. It's normally one of your top players on a team that's a playoff team,
right?
A top team, right?
Yes.
I don't know if Atlanta's making the playoffs.
I don't know, but I think they're going to be better than people think.
I do as well, but I mean, we all believe New Orleans is winning that division. We think Tampa could be a wild card. Maybe there's the extra team, so maybe Atlanta would be in there as well. How about Drew Brees?
We'll see. Number 3A was Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, I forgot. You have a whole list.
Come on, dude.
I actually stopped at three? I forgot how the show worked. How quickly you forget.
Number three was Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, okay. For non first non quarterback.
First non quarterback.
Okay.
Yep. Number 3B was Tom Brady.
Wow.
I mean, you're all in on this, right?
And well, I mean, listen,
he's going to
get some great stats. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So I could see that.
And then 3C, I went a little nuts. DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I like
that. I don't blame you. Yeah. I don't blame you. Again, he and Kyler Murray, I got to be, you know, boy, so happy with one another.
And then Larry Fitzgerald on the other side there. Yeah. 3D, a guy who's never gotten an MVP vote, Russell Wilson. I don't know how good the team is going to be.
Isn't it amazing?
But whatever they're going to be, it's because of Russell Wilson.
Never gotten an MVP vote. I'm stunned at that.
And just for you and also just for me, we finish up with 3E. Aaron Donald.
Well, of course.
You have to have Aaron Donald in there every year.
You absolutely
for
do.
Me.
Yeah, you do. That's a pretty good list. I like that. Though I wonder, Drew Brees has a chance, obviously, remember he missed 6 games last year.
Correct.
To have monster numbers in a team that we think is going to go deep into the playoffs. So, good, nice list, though.
Thank you, sir. And Patrick Mahomes continued to put up amazing stats. It is a ridiculous thing, and that stat's incredible. Brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life.
Better get to break, man. Better get to break. I will, again, I'm still on vacation, but since the set's in my house,
yeah,
and I was home for the day, I figured I'd stop down.
Whenever you feel.
I'm going to head out to see my mom for the weekend. So I will be back Monday, and we'll talk more about, you know, what's going on.
And there. I'm going on vacation
tomorrow. Yes, so I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
And then we'll finish up.
And then we'll have a victory lap, for lack of a better term. Coming up, a return for one athlete that had a test positive for COVID-19. We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I want to dance with somebody. I want to feel the heat with somebody. With somebody who loves me.
It's Golic and Wingo.
I got to say, hearing some of the things in some of these rejoins that have come out of my mouth is truly frightening.
Isn't it remarkable, man? You get 4 hours a day and a mic in front of you, you say some dumb stuff.
I mean, that was just terrible.
Yeah, I mean, we are just a factory of stupid.
Yeah, but at least we own it.
At least we're brought to you by 303 Touchless Sealant, like Golic and Wingo is. Don't have time to wax your car. 303 Touchless Sealant's a quick and easier solution. Simply spray on and rinse off. It's that easy. Get the ultimate protection and shine in minutes that lasts up to 6 months. Now available at O'Reilly, AutoZone, and Advance Auto Parts. Visit 303radio.com for more info. It is amazing. I was listening to that last segment. It was really nice to have that break, by the way, so thank you guys. Listening to my dad make, like, yet another, like, the 10,000th sex joke about my mom on this show.
Yeah.
The flow chart's amazing. It's like, does my dad have an amount of time to work with that is now freed up in his schedule? Is my mom, in theory, around in that time period? The flow chart then dictates he is required by dad law to make a sex joke here. I thank you guys for not playing the porn bed music behind him and giving him what he wanted in that instance, but it is amazing the consistent force of nature that has been.
Yeah, it's been something. There's no question about that one. It's never been uncomfortable for me for all of that.
No, it's never been uncomfortable for you? Oh, it's been, so we're worried about your feelings here. You ever been in a college football training room and had the porn bed music playing while your dad talks about doing the hibbity-dibbity in front of all your teammates and the people that you go to work with in college every day?
How did that work out?
You ever had that as a part of your life, Trey?
How did that work out?
Not great. You ever had a weightlifting accident that involved, you know, your you-know-what and had that broadcast on air the next day? You ever had that, Trey?
No.
Now, welcome
That's
to...
That's why I don't lift weights.
That's a great takeaway from that story. You know what?
Thank you very
that is
much.
Not an argument against the transparency of Sports Talk Radio.
Stay Wingo.
That's an argument against weights.
What else can I be? All right, a couple of things we need to pass along. First of all, Jimmy Johnson is going to be back in racing this weekend on NASCAR. Now, per the protocols, he tested positive last Friday. Since then, he's tested negative twice, and those two tests had to be at least 24 hours apart. But it's interesting because we're talking about testing positive on a Friday and then two negative tests within a week, which is really quick. But apparently, he doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah, I think we're starting to see some different things surrounding the way testing is going to be going forward. I want to look more into this, but I saw some tweets yesterday regarding things that might be changing in that regard that could be helpful for all sports in all of this. But certainly, great news for Jimmy Johnson, great news for NASCAR, who, as we talked about it, has come back and been successful in putting on these events, has started from doing it in a limited number of racetracks to branching out to more and all this. So they've been able to steadily grow, and they even involved, you know, some of the fans that were serviced men and women at a crowd at a race before. So they've been able to slowly go and kind of hit check marks in this in a way that you could, I think, call success.
Yes, absolutely.
So this is probably another version of that, and one that certainly personally for him is great.
Absolutely. So good to see Jimmy Johnson back and going. And then there's the continued financial pressure put on the Washington NFL franchise. Story come out today that both Target and Walmart have now pulled Redskins merchandise from their stores. Target saying, quote, "We are in the process of removing the items from our assortment." Walmart says, "We are discontinuing the sale of items that reference the team name and logo." So real financial pressure on a variety of fronts now is what's confronting Daniel Snyder, who has long said never when talks about when he would change the team name. And obviously they paid, it was last Friday, right? They released a statement. They're taking an internal review. FedEx is applying pressure. His minority owners are applying financial pressure, including Fred Smith, who is Fred Smith from FedEx, which is kind of a big deal. So it's clear that from the dollars and cents, people are trying to use the dollars to make sure that Dan Snyder makes sense in moving on from the nickname.
Golic and Wingo, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And I think it's worth noting, for everybody many, many moons ago that looked in Colin Kaepernick and said, well, he's going to be bad for business in all of this, despite the source of what he was doing being a cause that we can all agree now is just, and I think we all have talked about looking back on and saying, was misappropriate, was inappropriately cast as something negative. Most people look back now and say, all right, what was at the source of that police, you know, being against police brutality? All those things are a cause that we have all rallied behind. We have seen a lot more people rally behind. So people looked at that and said, well, that's bad for business. And so he's going to be, you know, bleep out of luck in this situation.
Right.
You look at this now in a mascot that has its origins in a racial slur and say, oh, wow, we're seeing very clearly the response is bad for business. And so anyone that was for that back then should be right lining up, getting ready to say, well, bad for business, this logo should be gone.
Right. And that's what we, that's like, capitalism.
Like
that's
capitalism. But like logically, you can't separate it. And we never even got real proof in the instance of Colin Kaepernick that it was financially detrimental here. You had a bunch of rating statistics that were proven to be skewed and inaccurate in a lot of those ways. And instead here, again, looking at the source of both of those, if you were looking at that crying capitalism, look here and keep the energy.
Speaking of keeping the energy, you know, we when your dad was down here for the last segment, we did play his God's Green Earth on Patrick Mahomes. And I can just say, our researcher, Vic, has been bringing it for the last couple of days. And going back to his first year as a full-time starter, he had the one game in 2017. Last year, the season he started in Denver, the Chiefs beat the Broncos. These were the first three pass attempts for Patrick Mahomes in his first game as a true NFL starter. First pass, 4 yards to Sammy Watkins. Second pass, 6 yards to Travis Kelce. Third pass attempt, 58-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill. What took him so long to score?
Honestly, like, why were you holding back?
I mean, why did it take three pass attempts, Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, it is amazing. I remember I called at Texas Tech. I actually called one of Cliff Kingsbury's last games there as the Texas Tech head coach, and this was the year Patrick had won, was going to go on to win the MVP. And so we were asking him about it in the production meetings and talking about it. I mean, kind of that stock, when did you know? And he said, very first scrimmage. Yeah. Said Pat came in, had no idea what he was doing, and tossed 5 touchdowns in the first scrimmage. And you just looked up and you knew exactly that, all right, we have something special, kind of like what we heard from Lewis Riddick, that Brett Veach and Andy Reid and everyone from that first minicamp that they had with Pat knew they had something special. Basically started drawing this agreement up back then because they knew they were handed something special.
Yeah, they were. And they handed him something special, a $500 million contract.
That is my brand of special, by the way. If any of you were thinking I would like to get Mike a special gift coming up in the future, make it a gift that somewhat resembles that.
Yeah, exactly right. So again, we'll see what happens going forward with the Washington team changing their name and how long that internal review takes. We also, again, we've got Jimmy Johnson back in racing this weekend, so we'll look forward to that. And we'll see what happens with the fallout from DeSean Jackson. Again, we had Sal Palantonio on early this morning. The first apology was not great. He issued a subsequent apology after meeting with Jeffrey Lurie, the team owner, and Howie Roseman, the general manager. And Sal described it as a really, at this time, still a very fluid situation.
So, yeah, I think you're going to need to see, if you're everyone in there, genuine contrition in this instance. The knee-jerk apology and the reaction that happened there, it all happened so quickly. And we said this when it came to every one of the apologies we've seen. Drew Brees, Mike Gundy, everyone. It's going to take a lot more than that, and I have a feeling that's going to apply to this situation as well.
Exactly. So coming up tomorrow, again, I'll be out on vacation for a little bit. I'll be back to literally wrap things up. We got a new dangerous game of Book It and a field trip around the NFL. You won't want to miss any of that.
Will you sign my permission slip?
I will. I don't. Although you're 30, I don't think you need a permission slip anymore.
I think it still might help.
You have your real dad upstairs. Have him sign the permission slip.
What?
We'll see you later. Stay Wingo.